on this November 25th, 2018 AD. We are going to ask Mrs. Lear if she will open us in prayer this morning.
Heavenly Father, as we conclude the Thanksgiving weekend, we are thankful for so very many things. You do so much for us in every way and every day. And while we do have a day set aside that we call Thanksgiving, we give thanks to you, Lord, every day for our needs that you meet, for things that are out in front of us that we sometimes don't even see, and yet you guide us and help us and bless us in ways that are rich and fulfilling. Give us that opportunity to be able to live and walk in a way that's pleasing to you, Lord. And we thank you for the opportunities you're going to place in front of us in this coming week. And we look forward today to the message that we're about to hear. And we just ask a special blessing on Pastor Lear, and Holy Spirit, inspire him and send that message from your sanctuary to our hearts. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, take your song sheets in hand. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is God, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever and ever. Forever. From the rising to the setting sun, his love endures forever. And by the grace of God we'll carry on. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong. Forever God is with us, forever and ever, forever. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. And I say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Amen. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. All of creation from every nation bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship, you alone are exalted on high. And your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. For none can compare to your matchless worth. Bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship, you alone are exalted on high. And your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay, set my rock upon them. Now I know I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my closest friend, I will worship you until the very end. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended. In the presence of the King, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty, the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple, the temple of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple, the temple of the Lord. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word, I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I thy true Son. Thou in my dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I need not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, O now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Well, those songs touch my heart. They inspire me. And I hope that all the rest of you are inspired by those songs too. Our friends at Technocracy News say Google getting ready to data mine your entire house, including kids' bedrooms. Police using mysterious new tool to unlock cell phones. IMF, that's International Monetary Fund, reveals that cryptocracy is the New World Order endgame. Yes. So we are certainly seeing these things come to pass that are biblically prophesied. Now my sources at Trumpet Online, which I always appreciate, reminding us about the Welsh revivals. And I have some history there. Myron Handel Price, who was a student of Rhys Howells, the great intercessor, and Handel was from Wales, just a little Welshman. Wales had two great revivals, 1858 to 60 and 1904 to 1905, interspersed with many local revivals. Both began with a massive amount of in-depth prayer. Both revivals saw approximately 100,000 converts out of the world, about a tenth of the population. However, the 1904 revival figure at approximately 225,000, which is a quarter of the population of Wales, became truly born-again Christians. And Dr. Orr, that was reporting this, said he arrived at this figure by estimating the number of nominal Christians who attended dead churches but became truly born again during the revival. Imagine of a quarter of a country becoming genuine Christians in the space of a few months. The whole character of a nation was vastly changed. In some areas, crime simply ceased. Judges had no cases to try. Pubs went bankrupt. Drinkers went back home with their families. Strikes were settled. Families were healed. Income was spent on food and necessities, not beer, which was what Wales was formerly notorious for, a nation of beer drinkers. Bookshops ran out of Bibles to sell. Homes ran prayer meetings and Bible studies. If ever there was a truly Christian nation, Wales was in 1905. On Sundays, just about everybody was in church, and the churches were full of life. And how did it begin? In one word, prayer. Of the 1904 revival, Jonathan Goforth in his classic, Be My Spirit, or By My Spirit, wrote, in the south of Wales, shortly before the great outpouring of the Spirit there in the early years of this country, 1904, 300 extra prayer groups were formed. Wales, in fact, became like one great prayer meeting. If you want your country to be healed, pray that it will be turned into one great prayer meeting. America has had this happen before in our nation. In 1857, Jeremiah Lamphere's tiny prayer meeting became the fuse to the prayer revival that saw a million genuinely born-again Christians added to the church in America. Then jumped the Atlantic to see another million added to the churches of Britain between 1857 and 60. It can happen again. God still answers prayer, yes. We need to think about this and pray about this, and we need to post this for others to see. And now my quips and quotes. After suffering a heart attack and having a quadruple bypass surgery, a man awakened to find himself in a Catholic hospital with nuns taking care of him. As they nursed him back to good health, one of the nuns asked if he had health insurance. No, unfortunately not, he replied. Do you have any money in the bank? Asked the nun. No, no money in the bank either, the man said. Do you have any relatives you could ask for help? The nun continued. The man replied, I only have a spinster sister who is a nun. At this remark, the nun became irritated. Nuns are not spinsters, she said demonstrably. Nuns are married to God. All right, then, said the man. Send the bill to my brother-in-law. Government, in my humble opinion, should be formed to secure and to enlarge the exercise of the natural rights of its members. And every government which has not this in view as its principal object is not a government of the legitimate kind. That by James Wilson, 1791, signer of the Declaration of American Independence. As a religious people, Americans have always had a keen sense they have been blessed by Providence. It was the philosopher Aristotle who said, "The least initial deviation from the truth is multiplied later a thousandfold." Mm-hmm. We're certainly seeing that in our country. Our country is in danger, but not to be despaired. Our enemies are numerous and powerful, but we have many friends determining to be free, and heaven and earth will aid the resolution. On you depend the fortunes of America. You are to decide the important question on which rests the happiness and liberty of millions yet unborn. Act worthy of yourselves. Joseph Warren, 1775. And here's some food for thought. Call it the best poem in the world. I was shocked, confused, bewildered as I entered heaven's door, not by the beauty of it all, nor the lights or its decor, but it was the folks in heaven who made me sputter and gasp, the thieves, the liars, the sinners, the alcoholics, and the trash. There stood the kid from seventh grade who swiped my lunch money twice. Next to him was my old neighbor who never said anything nice. Herb, who I always thought was rotting away in hell, was sitting pretty on cloud nine, looking incredibly well. I nudged Jesus. "What's the deal? I would love to hear your take. How'd all these sinners get up here? God must have made a mistake. And why is everyone so quiet, so somber? Give me a clue." "Hush, child," he said. "They're all in shock. No one thought they'd be seeing you." Remember, folks, every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. It was the economist Herbert Stein, and it's called Stein's Law. If something cannot go on forever, it will stop. We need to be reminded of that, of many of the things that are going on in America or the world today. Now, what we say about our blessings? It's not what we say about our blessings, but how we use them is the true measure of our thanksgiving. And today, the theme of our message on this November 25th, 2018, just a week away from the Advent season, God calls on the faithful, not the fancy. And we're going to read from Daniel chapter 2 today. That's Daniel chapter 2. It's a long chapter, but we're going to read it anyway because it's certainly worth reading at this time of year, or any time of year for that matter, but emphasizes some important things here. So there are 49 verses. I will read the first 24, and Mrs. Lear, I will have you read the last 25. So we're going to read Daniel chapter 2. I'm reading from the Living English Standard Translation. Chapter 2, Daniel, beginning at verse 1. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled and his sleep left him. Then the king commanded that the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans be summoned to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king. And the king said to them, "I had a dream, and my spirit is troubled to know the dream." Then the Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation." The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "The word from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn limb from limb, and your houses shall be laid in ruins. But if you show the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor." Therefore, show me the dream and its interpretation. They answered a second time and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show its interpretation. The king answered and said, I know with certainty that you are trying to gain time, because you see that the word from me is firm. If you do not make the dream known to me, there is but one sentence for you. You have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the times change. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me its interpretation. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand, for no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. The thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. Because of this, the king was angry and very furious, and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree went out, and the wise men were about to be killed, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He declared to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree of the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel, and Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went into his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision that night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show the king the interpretation. I've just read in Daniel chapter 2 from verses 1 to 24.
And continuing on, in the English Standard Version, Daniel chapter 2, beginning with verse 25. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus to him, I have found among the exiles from Judah a man who will make known to the king the interpretation. The king declared to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream that I have seen and its interpretation? Daniel answered the king and said, no wise men, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be of the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head as you lay in bed are these. To you, O king, as you lay in bed, came thoughts of what would be after this. And he who reveals mysteries made known to you what is to be. But as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because of any wisdom that I have more than all the living, but in order that the interpretation may be made known to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your mind. You saw, O king, and behold, a great image. This image, mighty and of exceeding brightness, stood before you, and its appearance was frightening. The head of this image was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its middle and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. As you looked, a stone was cut out by no human hand, and it struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold all together were broken in pieces and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them could be found. But the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream. Now we will tell the king its interpretation. You, O king, the king of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power, and the might, and the glory, and into whose hand he has given wherever they dwell the children of man, the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, making you rule over them all. You are the head of gold. Another kingdom inferior to you shall arise after you, and yet a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And there shall be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, because iron breaks to pieces and shatters all things. And like iron that crushes, it shall break and crush all these. And as you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, it shall be a divided kingdom, but some of the firmness of iron shall be in it, just as you saw iron mixed with the soft clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly iron and partly clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly brittle. As you saw the iron mixed with soft clay, so they will mix with one another in marriage, but they will not hold together, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever, just as you saw that a stone was cut from a mountain by no human hand, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. A great God has made known to the king what shall be after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation sure. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and paid homage to Daniel, and commanded that an offering and incense be offered up to him. The king answered and said to Daniel, "Truly, your God is God of gods and Lord of kings, and a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery." Then the king gave Daniel high honors and many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel made a request of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel remained at the king's court. It was Daniel chapter 2, verses 25 through 49 from the English Standard Version.
Well, praise the Lord for the reading of his word. I always say the Bible speaks, and the Holy Spirit will help us to understand it. Meaning it, meaning the Word of God, and it's real, it's alive, And of course, the Holy Spirit brings to us the truth of God's Word in our hearts. And as I said initially, God calls on the faithful, not the fancy. God calls on the faithful, not the fancy. We see a situation here where when King Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, and he obviously was a very powerful king, the most powerful king on earth at the time. And he called upon his magicians and sorcerers and Chaldeans, and they tried to trick him into telling them what the dream was, rather than them knowing it. And of course, it's the same with us today. Think about the opportunities that we have. There are people that are charlatans. There are people that are soothsayers. There are people that, I remember it was many years ago, where somebody would interview the people coming to a church service about what was going on in their lives and so forth. And then that information was transmitted to the healing evangelist, and then he'd speak these things out, and the people would be amazed. How did you know that? Of course, they've been told. And so in this very similar situation here, Nebuchadnezzar was very troubled in his spirit. The sleep left him. He couldn't sleep because he was very troubled. I'm sure all of us have had situations like that. We've had to pray and call upon the Lord, and maybe we've called upon people who were willing to charge us $300 an hour and let us bump our gums, so to speak. And so when these magicians and sorcerers and the Chaldeans came before King Nebuchadnezzar, they were fancy. They wore fancy clothes. They had fancy headdresses. They had all kind of things about them. But of course, Daniel was very simple. And we remember also that Daniel chose not to eat at the king's table. He asked for permission to just basically live on what I call, it was called pulse, which might be, you know, God granola, so to speak. Something healthy, but not like what the king was serving at the table. And of course, these magicians and sorcerers, and they were going to take whatever they could get from the king. Whereas Daniel, being very simple, very faithful, not fancy, was not asking the king for anything. He was wanting to show the king what his dream was, and of course, he immediately became very different in a sense. These Chaldeans and these sorcerers and magicians said, "There is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand, for no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean." Well, it doesn't make any difference if no powerful king has ever asked the question before. They were basically making the statement, we don't know. We're supposed to be soothsayers, we're supposed to be enchanters and magicians and Chaldeans, but we don't know. And there's nobody else that knows either, because no one can show it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. And of course, one of the things as we're entering into the Advent season that is talked that God came in the flesh to be with us. So here's the statement being made by those pagans, because they're saying the gods, so they're pagans. You can't call them atheists because they believed in God, many gods, so they were pagans. And these pagans made the statement that that gods don't dwell with flesh. And what a difference there. We know about Jesus came and dwelt with us. That God was made man and dwelt with us. And so this is really kind of heading towards the Advent season in this message. God calls on the faithful, not the fancy. And of course, we know that Jesus was never fancy. He was very faithful, and in the same way, Daniel, to a sort, becomes, as Joseph was, a type of Jesus that we read about. And of course, when all of this was being revealed, of these dreams and whatever, that Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. What did he ask for? He said, just give me time to show you this. Let's set an appointment. So he did. And of course, Daniel answered and said, but before I read that, in verse 18, 19, and 20, then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He blessed the God of heaven. What does that mean? How do you bless the God of heaven? As I've often said to people, God needs no blessings from us. We need blessings from him. He has everything, and we have really nothing except what he gives us. And so when Daniel said, blessed be the God of heaven, he was doing the right thing. And we need to learn from that too. Learn to bless the God of heaven, which means, like when we say to somebody, God bless you, or Lord be with you, or Godspeed, or any of those kind of things, in a sense that is blessing the God of heaven. It's not because he needs anything. God doesn't need anything. He doesn't even need us. And he doesn't need our praise. He doesn't need our thanksgiving to be any more of God than he is, or any stronger God than he is. He doesn't need any of that. But he wants us to do those things because it's good for us. And so Daniel, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. And you talk about a good invocation, a good benediction. That's a good one there. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. And of course, you better know who the God really is and what his name is. Obviously, those Chaldean sorcerers and enchanters didn't know. To whom belong wisdom and might? He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Now think about this. Let's modernize this, if you will. You've got a very wealthy, powerful businessman. In America today, we don't have kings and queens, don't have princes and princesses and dukes and duchesses and all, but we do have people in government, people in business, people in military that are very high up and have really more power than even Nebuchadnezzar did have at that time. And so being able to, let's say we're called into the office, we go into the office of this powerful businessman, you know, a billionaire businessman that says, I couldn't sleep last night, I'm so troubled. Can you tell me what the trouble is? And of course, you know, they can call up Gene Dixon, they call up all these people who are supposed to be prognosticators and, you know, clairvoyants and all that, and they don't have the answer. And then a simple man of God, a faithful man of God, not fancy clothes or anything, comes in and says, well, sir, I've sought the Lord, the God of heaven, and believe it or not, whether you believe in him or not, he is the God of heaven. Jesus Christ is the God of heaven, and God, our Heavenly Father, God of heaven. Whether you believe in him or not, he's still God. But I've come to tell you why you're distressed by this dream and what the dream really means. I can tell you that that person that would receive that would be very affected by it, so much so, just like Nebuchadnezzar, when Daniel told him in verse 29 or 28 actually, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Now, for whatever reasons, the God, our Heavenly Father, the true God, decided to reveal these things to Nebuchadnezzar. You might say, well, the reason he revealed it to it, because Nebuchadnezzar was a powerful king, and from Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, and of course, the kingdom of Cyrus came and whatever else, but even more so than that, more so than just that history, he gave Daniel the opportunity to reveal to Nebuchadnezzar who the real God was, or who the real God is. And he put to shame all those sorcerers, enchanters, and magicians to the point where the king destroyed them and destroyed their homes. They're false. False prophets, of which we have many in our society today. To you, O king, as you laid in bed, came thoughts of what would be after this. Because most of us would like to know when our life is over and the work that we have done, and what we'd like to know what's going to happen to it. So I suppose Nebuchadnezzar in the same way felt that I want to know what's going to happen to my kingdom after I'm gone. But of course, as we have read through the rest of the chapter, as we get towards the end of the chapter in verse 45, a great God has made known to the king what shall be after this. The dream is certain and its interpretation is sure. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and paid homage to Daniel. Okay, now, instead of falling on his face and paying homage to the true God who has just revealed this, he pays homage to Daniel. That's sort of typical, and I've seen it happen. All right, for example, I've laid hands on people, people have been healed, or I've given a word of knowledge or whatever, and then people started to make a fanfare for me, and I said, wait, stop. Please don't. If it weren't for the Lord, I wouldn't have anything to give you. It's like when somebody says, well, why did you give me, you know, you don't have to do that. You gave me such and such. Yes, I did have to do that because the Lord wanted me to do it. And if it weren't for the Lord, I wouldn't have anything to give. So we need to make sure that we're placing the thanks in the right spot. So he paid homage to Daniel and commanded that an offering and incense would be offered up to him. The king answered and said to Daniel, truly your God is God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery. And of course, he was, even though Nebuchadnezzar was new to this and so forth and so on, he did at least make that statement, truly your God is God of gods and Lord of kings. And of course we know, and revealer of mysteries, we know that as we're entering the Advent season, one of the things that is mentioned about Jesus, he's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And of course for us to make the statement everywhere we go, we'll have no other king but King Jesus. How tremendous this is. Then the king gave Daniel high honors and many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. And so here we have, once again, as our theme today, God calls on the faithful, not on the fancy. Daniel didn't solicit all the fancy stuff. I mean, obviously, he probably ended up with better clothes and, you know, maybe better place to live or situation like that. He really wasn't looking for that. But with being faithful and not being fancy, the Lord delivers to us things that we haven't even asked for. Because Daniel didn't ask the king, by the way, if I do your dream here, if I interpret your dream correctly, and you're satisfied with that, then I want gold, I want silver, I want servants, I want special vehicles to drive me around. I want a special place with a villa on the ocean, and I need a special house on the mountain, or anything. He didn't ask for anything. He didn't ask for anything. But the Lord laid upon Nebuchadnezzar's heart to do these things for Daniel. And Daniel was in a position where now Daniel, and he served three different kings there, which was totally unheard of. Most of the new kings came in and immediately executed the advisors of the previous king. And that didn't happen with Daniel, because Daniel was obviously very faithful and not fancy. He didn't, if you'll pardon the expression, lord it over everyone. He was there to make sure that God, the true God, was known. So, my friends, the question once again, and I'll ask you, this is a question. God calls on the faithful. Are you the faithful? Are you faithful? And if the answer is anything but yes, you need to inquire as to why the answer is not yes for you. And not the fancy. We think, you know, these days that people, and it was a subject one time, that if Jesus was going to show up to a certain banquet or whatever, wealthy, influential people, he'd show up in a Rolls Royce wearing a custom tuxedo. I don't know about that. But I can say certainly Jesus did not come to earth in a fancy way. He didn't come to earth in any other way than faithful. And so for us, we need to be faithful. We need not to be fancy. Whatever God has blessed us with, we use those blessings to do what? And I said it in my quips and quotes. We express our thanksgiving by the way we use the blessings that God has given us. Think about that. God calls on the faithful. You be faithful. God calls on the faithful. He does not call on the fancy. You don't need to be fancy. You need to be faithful and true to the calling God has given you. And use what you have for the opportunity to show who God really is. And boy, the opportunities these days are everywhere you go. Let's pray. Well, God our Father, it's our great joy to make you known wherever that we are. We know that more and more across the world that Christians are being sanctioned and Christians are being executed, and those who really stand like the test of faith and time, that have been burned at the stake, have been thrown to wild animals, and all kind of horrid things that have been done to them, but yet still remain faithful, still not fancy, but have this simple message: Jesus Christ is Lord. There is no other way except Jesus. Simple message. Not fancy, but the faithful message. And Lord, for all that's going on in America and throughout the world, we think about it in countries like Yemen, that one time was a very Christian country, and now is one of the least Christian countries of the world. Or the Welsh revival. We pray for that kind of a revival in America. It could happen. It happened in Wales. It can happen here. And there have been many revivals. It's time for another one. Whatever it's the first revival, second revival, third great awakening, fourth great awakening, doesn't make a difference which one it is. We just need that now. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God.